Love. We hear that word often. We understand that word is displayed in many ways, but there is no other way that we would ever understand your love except for the crucifixion, the death of your son. And Father, as we look at this season and we look at this time of year where your son came as a babe, and Father, he came as a babe so that he could be touched with the infirmities, so that he could experience what we've experienced, and that he could be yet without sin, and he could be there, our comforter. He could be there as our teacher, and Father, we would understand that he knows. And God, but first and most of all, he came that we may be saved, that we may have that eternal home, our hope of glory. And God, as we just quiet our time tonight, Lord, may we just look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we've been going through, and again, we shared that this Christmas season, we're focusing on the nativity and leading up to the December 18th film of the nativity. And so again, I want to encourage all of you to come, encourage all of you to be inviting out. I think it's going to be a really good time and opportunity for us to get the redemptive story out there in a way that some will come and some will listen. So in saying that, last week and each message is gearing up towards that nativity. So last week we looked at why did Jesus become a man? And so we studied through that a little bit, and we looked at that and went through many verses. And today, as we continue this process, there are individuals that are involved in this nativity scene. And there was three very prominent individuals. One we looked at last week, and that's Jesus Christ. And so this week we're going to see Joseph. Next week we're going to check Mary, and then we're going to have another way to look at that in the week to follow. But so Joseph, why Joseph? Why was Joseph chosen? Do you realize that in that time, in that frame, you may turn to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to be there and looking in the scriptures. But when we look at Joseph and we look at his, who he is, the question comes out, why him? But then you could also ask, why David? Why Abraham? Why Joseph? Why Kevin? Put your name in it. Why you? Why has God chosen you to accomplish ministry? Because if you're here today and you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you have been called into a ministry. You have been called in to serve in His army, in His family, or in the ministry that He's given you. So when we look at Joseph, what we want to do is we want to see a little bit about the man, because I think what we're going to see is a description of the men that God is looking for. A description of the people that God is looking for. And so when we study this through, and again, every time we come to the season of Christmas or one of the seasons, I think, okay, this is the 29th time you've heard me preach about Christmas. I can't come up with different ways like that. The truth is the truth. But this is a way in which I trust we look at it maybe a little bit different. We're going to pull out some of his life today. We're going to pull out some of the importances that we see in Joseph's life. And beginning in verse 18, it starts with, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child and the Holy Ghost." So I want to set the stage a little bit. You could go to Luke chapter 2 and you could read about the census. You could read about them traveling to Bethlehem. And Luke, of course, Luke the doctor, always has a little bit more details in the birth of Christ and the death of Christ. So if you want to know more details about those two events, read Luke. Matthew just simply says, she was found with child. But if you read prior to that, you read beyond those verses, before these, you read that she went to her aunt's home and went to Elizabeth's. Elizabeth was also with child. And when Mary walked up to her, the baby within Elizabeth did a flip. I have not experienced that. Only the one flipping. When that happened, they both knew that God was in this. So in Joseph's perspective, and I'm going to make a statement that incriminates me and everybody else's male gender in here, that Joseph was clueless at this point. Because he had no idea. She just went there, came back pregnant. So not only was Mary not in town, not only was Mary not under her father's roof, Mary was out of town in a place that had no accountability, if I could say it that way. And so I want to try to paint this picture in your mind, putting your shoes on and sitting with Joseph and saying, what was his first thought? How did he first respond? What was it all about in Joseph's mind? Because we know that Mary was approached. We know that Mary was told by the Spirit of God that she was going to bear a son, and she was going to call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And she was all okay with it. And here's poor Joseph. He has no idea at this point. All he knows is that when she came back pregnant. So I want you to think about that for a minute. Now listen, Joseph is an ordinary man, okay? He's not a man of supernatural abilities. He's someone that God chose. But we're going to see something. I'm going to try to present in a little bit of a different way today. But why Joseph? We're going to try to answer that today as we look into this. So that's the setting. The news of Mary with child we see in verse 18. So in those two areas, first of all, Mary was espoused to Joseph. We need to understand that. In order for this to really fit in well, we need to understand what that means. Because some sort of correlate it with, well, they were engaged. No, that's not. In the Hebrew custom, when a couple, first of all, the man and the woman who was getting hitched had no say in it. That would be the answer of every father's prayer, right? I'll pick the one I want for you, right? Okay, anyway. Yeah, that didn't work for me either. Even though they're all good. I better finish that. But we don't get that choice now. But in the Hebrew text, the fathers came together. The fathers said, these two, Joseph and Mary, are going to get married. So the fathers came together and the fathers bargained. The fathers came up with an agreement and a contract. Is this is what I've got to give you. This is what you're going to give me. This is how it's all going to work. And then they are, at that point, contracted. They're together. And that's why you'll see in the scripture, it says husband and wife also. They're a spouse, but then he says husband and wife. They considered, at the beginning of the year-long wait, to be husband and wife in the eyes of everyone. So at the very beginning of the time when the fathers made the contract, what that did is allowed them then all of a sudden to say, now there's a waiting period, and this waiting period of purity, this waiting period of a time where they prove themselves to be committed to each other. And if anything went wrong within that year, it wasn't pretty. And we're going to see that as we go down through some of this. So to be espoused is just as you and I would consider being married. They just had a one-year wait. At the end of that 1 year, then the man, the groom, would go and he would make this huge procession. And if you go in to see the correlation between marriage and the church and the second coming of Christ, in Matthew it says the 10 virgins, and they were their oil and their candles, and Christ came and they weren't ready because their candles went out. And it's a correlation of what literally they understood marriage to be about. So the bridegroom would then go and he would make this great, great procession. I mean, everybody would be hooting and hollering. And when this happened, I want you to picture this. When this happened down Main Street, all the girls who were a spouse were looking out the window to see if it was for them. To see, is it my man coming? not this time. You know, I don't know what it looked like. But anyway, they would go down there and make this big profession. And we have to understand their culture. Because this is huge that she came back pregnant. Because they were married. And Joseph had a lot of rights to do things that he chose not to do. So when we look at this, the news of the child of itself was enough to just really put Joseph in a mindset. Okay? So Mary came back expecting a child, and that's very clear as it says that in verse 18. Also says that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Listen, Joseph didn't have that information yet. Joseph didn't know. All he knew, she came back. Now, did they have a conversation? No, she came back looking. She came back, and he took one look, didn't have to say a word. He knew, and so did everybody else in town. This all sets the stage for why Joseph. Because I guarantee you, not every man would have been able to handle and do what Joseph did. And I don't think I'm wrong in that. I don't think I'm wrong, because some would just simply say, you're done, regardless. But Joseph had something in him, and that's the key to why Joseph. What did he have in him? What was his thought process? What was his priorities? What did he have that allowed God to choose him? So, interesting enough, when we carry this through and look at it, in verse 18, we see that as she was found with child, it set everything different. The whole course of what was going on was different. So the second thing we want to realize is Joseph's reaction towards Mary. How did he react? How did he respond? Verse 19, I'm going to read the verse and we're going to go back and pick it up a little bit. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. We're going to see two responses. And listen, guys and everyone, don't miss this. Joseph's first response, I will label human response. Joseph's first response was out of a heart that loved Mary. The second response we'll see is out of a heart that loved God. His first response, out of love for Mary, he simply chooses not to do what he could have done. First of all, this concept of a just man. What does it mean in scriptures when he is a just man? Or he is a man that people will look at. And how I've defined that is one who is living by the one who set the standards. One who is living according to the one who set the standards, which simply means he followed God. He was a just man. He took the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament written. He didn't have the Bible in front of him. He didn't have anything in his hands at that time that he could turn to other than the Old Testament prophecy, other than the things that he knew God was going to be doing. And so he followed God to the best of his ability. And that's a very important first characteristic of why Joseph. Joseph knew what God intended for his life as a man. Joseph knew that God called him as a Christian or saved man, as we would put it, or a man who followed God. And so for you and I to realize why Joseph, the first characteristic is, we've got to be somebody who knows that we are accountable to the one who sets the rules. We are living in a world where that accountability is gone. They want to get rid of God. They want to get rid of Christ. Why? Because when you do, then there's no higher accountability than me. And what I think is right is right. And what I think is wrong is wrong. And if you don't do what I think you should do, you're wrong, I'm right, you're intolerant. Well, I beg to differ. Because we live in a world where God still reigns. We live in a world where God still is on the throne. And so we need to understand, in the world in which we live today, we need to first make sure that we are living as if we are accountable to God, not man. Because I think we lost all that, and we've seen how we lost all that in the last few years. I think God's children begin to fear man more than God in the last couple years. And it's continuing down a slippery slope. We need to get back to the idea that a just man is someone who is following the rules of the one who set them. And that is God. Do you want to be used by God in your life? You want to be used by God in your ministry? You want to be used in where God has placed you? Man, you got to follow God's way. You got to follow God's rules. And it's pretty evident in Joseph's life as he was known as a just man. Because he was known, that's one reason why God chose him and why God wanted to use him. The second thing we find here, again, he could have chose to put her away, or he did choose, was going to choose to put her away privately. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23, if you want to read, I'm just going to read a couple verses because the whole context is actually should be very strange in the world in which we live in. But in verse 23, it says, if a damsel, that is a virgin, be betrothed, as she was, unto a husband, and the man find her in the city and lie with her, then he shall bring them both out into the gate of that city, and he shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled to his neighbor's wife, so that they shall put away evil from among you. Listen, God looked at, they didn't divorce. They stoned them. God was serious about this. You got to understand, in our day and age today, it's prevalent. It's out there, however you want to dice it down and however you want to take it into your world. But the world in which we live doesn't understand this type of discipline. So Joseph had the ability to take her out and say, I didn't do it, and she'd be stoned to death. Mary should have been killed. Mary should have been stoned at the gates by the elders. But he loved her enough to say, let's just go away. I'm going to put you away privately. I don't want nothing to do with you. I'm not going to marry you, but I don't want you dead either. His first response was out of a heart of love for Mary. And that is very significant. Because when we look at Joseph's life, we understand all that he's doing and all that he's saying in this verse. He wanted to put her away in a direction or a way that would not have killed her. Man's rules, God's rules actually, at that point in time. But you see, he loved her. And he didn't want to see her like that. I think it's an important process. I think it's an important thing. The next thing we see in this is Joseph's calling of God. And I want to be very careful with this. The Christmas story is about the virgin birth of Christ. How Mary was called and how Mary was used. What was Joseph's calling? Joseph's calling was just to be her husband. He wasn't called to be the father of Christ. He couldn't have been. He wasn't the father. He was called to be the husband of Mary. That's a calling that not many men would have taken. And I beg to differ, but I believe there are many callings in our world today that we just don't want. That we don't want a part of those. And so understanding that Joseph, yes, he was chosen, but he was called as we see this. First of all, we see in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, and basically that could go back up to verse 19, was minded. So he was thinking on these things. Nothing was acted upon at this point. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He now gets the message that Mary received many months ago. And so in Joseph's dream, Joseph begins to think, as he is thinking, and this is interesting when you think about dreams today, you know, a lot of think, well, I got to be sleeping to have the dream. I got to be, you know, when I'm out, I'm dreaming these things. Well, it doesn't say Joseph was sleeping. It says Joseph was very much awake. He was thinking on what to do, and God began to speak in his mind. He wasn't sleeping. It wasn't a dream that you and I would define today. He was simply thinking, God, what do I do? Listen, have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a point in your life when you're just crying out to God, God, what do I do? I've got to make a choice. I've got to make a decision. I've got to either yes or no, or I've got to stay or go, or God, I'm either going to go. God, I don't know what to do. Listen, that is the greatest time for you just to be silent before God. Because he's going to start bringing back to you scriptures. He's going to start bringing back to you truth. He's going to start bringing you back. Because what did the angel speak to Joseph? The exact wordage that we have in the New Testament is, take her as your wife, for we should succeed in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on in verse 22. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people their sins. Do you think that rang a bell in Joseph's mind? He's a just man. He knows the word of God. And we looked at a verse last week, didn't we? Isaiah 7:14. That promise that King Ahaz needed, God was giving as a sign in Isaiah for the fact that the Savior was coming. Israel was not going to be destroyed like the two other kings wanted to come in and destroy King Ahaz and all Judah. God said, I'm going to give you a sign that's never going to happen. The sign is now in the process of being a little closer to reality. Joseph, I don't think Joseph had this off-the-wall bad burrito night dream, okay? That's what happens today. There's a lot of dreams out there that are just like, wow, what? You got to be careful, okay? It just could be the bad burrito. When Joseph was awake, struggling in his heart, struggling in his mind on what to do, he loved Mary. He knew what the right was to do. How could you do this to me, Mary? How could you go and lie with another man? Mary, I love you. Mary, can you imagine what's going on in his mind? He's struggling. And all of a sudden, God said, Joseph, it's okay. I'm going to tell you what, I've been there, you've been there, many of us have been there, and it is so freeing to just say, I'm listening. And just let God be God. I'm telling you, that's one of the greatest things we learn about Joseph. He chose Joseph because he knew Joseph would just simply say, okay, God. How many of you here today, in that same concept in your mind, when you're struggling and you're hurting and you got to make a choice and you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you just sit there and you, God is telling you this way. Oh, but no, that can't be God because I don't want that way. We reason with God instead of listen. We justify why we don't have to because, it won't work that way. And you know what the craziest thing is that we do? We will continue to pray and continue to pray until we feel God answered what we prayed. And all along, God's up there in heaven saying, you know what? Go. Just go. You will be back. Just go. That road's going to hurt. Go ahead. Of course, his road hurts many times too, but at least we know he's carrying us in that one. As you see what Joseph, and I don't want to overplay this, but I can't help but think in Joseph's mind, this is why he was called. He was called to take a young woman that he loved. And in his mind, all he knew is she was with someone else. And he still loved her to the point that he didn't want to kill her. Didn't want to have her killed. And as he's struggling with a human heart, God stepped in. I'm going to tell you what, anybody struggling in this world today, anybody who is struggling on how to live, what to do, God loves it when we struggle in our heart, because he's the mender of the heart. He's the fixer of the heart. He's the one that will come in and say, listen, let's work with this together. Let's do this together. And that's exactly what he tells Joseph. Joseph, at this point, in verse 20 and 21, he gets the message from the Holy Ghost, from God, and then he simply says, again, this was what was told, verse 22, and now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God, I remember a verse. It's in Isaiah. God, you promised. You promised that a Messiah, you promised that this was going to, God, is this for real? If anything, Joseph should have said humbly, God, I can't believe you chose me to be a part of this. I can't believe, God, you're picking me to be a part of this ministry, to be a part of raising Jesus Christ. I would not want that responsibility. I don't want to answer for what I did already in raising kids. We've got a lot to answer for, don't we? But in this process, we need to understand that when Joseph is being told, when Joseph is looking at this, and Joseph begins to, you got to hate computer updates, don't you? Seriously? When Joseph begins to do this, and it all, if you can just bear with me one second, we find out that in Joseph's mind and in Joseph's ways of doing things, he had to have the heart for his wife in a way that was unbelievable. And with that heart, he has a dilemma going on. And I want to tell you, you and I face that same thing all the time. You and I face dilemmas, we face decisions, we face trials, we face tribulations. And many, listen, the best thing, God knew Joseph would do this. The best thing that you and I can do is exactly what Joseph did. When our minds and we're struggling, we just quietly, God, speak to me. Is that not what he said in John chapter 14? The role of the Holy Spirit? I must leave, but I will not leave you comfortless. The peace I give unto you, the world cannot give. He will recall back to you the things I have taught you. Listen, all the verses you memorize, all the things you know about God, it's there. It may be buried a little bit, but it's there. And at that moment, when you're wrestling the hardest with God, God, I need some answers. You'll get that verse. He guarantees it. The problem, I never heard that. I never got that. Well, maybe it didn't sit quiet long enough. We have a tendency to be just a little bit impatient, right? Just a little bit. Nobody wants to incriminate themselves, do they? Of course we're all impatient. But when we look at what, again, Joseph simply said, you know, as he heard all this information, his response is what we need to look at. In verse 24, we have his response. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, as he was in this trance of mind thinking, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Took unto him his wife, and he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son. There's three things listed in those verses that we want to pull out. Three things that we find in Joseph in his faithful obedience. And folks, that's the key. Why Joseph? Why Joseph? Because God knew Joseph would choose to stay faithful. Could God say that about you? Could God say that about me? When the hard times come, the struggles come, the difficult days come, well, we stay faithful. When they come knocking on your door and demand you to denounce Christ, will you stay faithful? When some of your peers start making fun of your belief, will you stay faithful? Some of your people that you work with start laughing at you, start saying things about you that aren't true, try to trip you up, will you stay faithful? One of the greatest things I learned when I studied through this again, I want to stay faithful. Joseph simply, God knew he would stay faithful. Folks, that's the answer why Joseph. God knew what he would choose, as he knows what you will choose, as he knows what I will choose. You and I need to have the conscious choices to stay faithful to God, no matter what. You see, that's why he was used in an unbelievable way. As we see these three things, first of all, Joseph rose. He did as the Lord had bidden him. He obeyed faithfully what God asked. What did God ask? Go back up into, go back up into verse 20. Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Don't be afraid. Now I want you to try to figure, don't be afraid. What fear did Joseph have at this point? He had a fear for Mary and what the community would think. He could have had a fear from the fathers, because I'll tell you, when their contract was broken, let me real quickly give you a little bit of history on the Abrahamic covenant. When the Abrahamic covenant was given, what that covenant was is when an animal was cut in half, two halves laid down, blood coming out of it. Both parties will circle and walk through the blood of both. That's a covenant. And if at any given time that covenant is broken by one of the other parties, the one party that it was broken against has the right to kill the other one. Done. They did the same thing in the marriage contracts. The fathers would walk. If your son or your daughter breaks his covenant, we have a right to take their life of them and the father. This is serious business. Do you think he was a little fearful of that? Fearful of what everybody's going to say, what everybody's going to think. Listen, if we understand how fearful we became in our world about what man thinks, to the point that we have compromised the truth of God. We can't do that. We can't compromise the truth of God based on the fear of man. Because the worst thing man can do to me is send me home. What's wrong with that? Send me home. I'm ready. I know where I'm going. Joseph was a just man. He knew faith in God was what's going to get him through. Very first thing he did, he listened with faithful obedience. The second thing we find, took unto him his wife. Now, I'm going to ornithology here a little bit. I don't think the betrothal period, the 1 year, was up yet. He broke the rules. I love it when I break the rules righteously. It's fun to break the rules righteously. There is a right time for you to stand up and say, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go that way. That's not my belief. I'll be tolerant if you'll be tolerant. You won't be tolerant. Well, guess what? I believe this. There's a time where you and I are going to have to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to listen to God. I'm not going to fall through. Joseph was chosen for his faithful obedience. He took his wife. Immediately, then took his wife. That would have broken all customs, all rules at that moment. And then he said, and he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn. In a Jewish wedding, after that year, that guy comes, and that guy's coming like a bull in a china shop, okay? There's no polite way to say this. He's coming for his woman. He's coming, man. He's coming for his bride. Waited a whole year for this. And he's coming for bride. He takes her and he goes back to the home and they physically consummate the wedding. And it was a joyful occasion. Joseph said, no, let's go now. There's no celebration. There's no big week party. There's no pomp and circumstance down the main street. Come on, let's go. Man, you see, those three, he answered from a love for God. Because God said, listen, Joseph, no matter what, take her. No matter what, Joseph, be her husband. No matter what, Joseph, raise Christ. Man. And he purposely did not know her, did not consummate the wedding until after Christ was born. That to me is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable what Joseph did in response, because he loved his wife and he loved his God. And we need to take that lesson. Why Joseph? It's very clear. He was a man that loved his God above all else. He was a man that would stay faithful in obedience no matter what. Listen, God's still looking for the Josephs today. God's still looking for those people who will stand up. God's still looking for individuals that he can use in the ministry that's coming. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a Joseph. Of course, I want to be a Paul, and I want to be a Peter too, but I can't be all of them. But any given day of the week, I'm going to be one of them. I want to keep doing what these men had to do, because listen, I believe we're going full circle. I truly believe that our world is going to bring it back down to where we have a world that Paul and Peter and Joseph all lived in, when to stand up for the truth of Christ is going to cost you something. And folks, we are not ready to sacrifice for Christ. We are not ready and willing to give up for truth. Man, we got to get there. We got to be willing to be there as Joseph was. That's why Joseph was chosen. Interesting enough, really quickly, the two things that we find in that verse is when in Isaiah 20, or in Matthew here and verse 23, it says, repeating from Isaiah, his name will be called Emmanuel. And then in verse 25, it says the firstborn son, and his name will be called Jesus. There's two different concepts of that, and I want to explain it really quickly. First of all, Emmanuel explains who he is. Emmanuel was God with us. Jesus, that name means Savior. That's what he was going to do. Names are very important in the New Testament time. It showed their character. It showed who they truly were. By him being named Jesus, and it's if you go down and do the study of the word Jesus, it was Yusha, I think, how you say that? Shawa, Yusha. And then it actually transfers into Joshua, which then after all the translations come into Jesus. But that's his name. His name meant Savior. His name was what he was going to do. And they would have known that. They would have understood how important the names are. In that realm of obedience, Joseph followed through. He named him. It was up to the male to name the children. He was told by the angel, this is what you're going to name him. He named him in verse 25, continuing his faithful obedience. I'm excited to get into these stories, to get into these truthful events, and be able to say, you know what? If these ordinary people can do it, guess what? I got hope. I got hope. God can do some amazing things through you and I, ordinary people that are faithfully obedient to him. Man, he's going to do some great things. He promised he would. Our takeaway this morning is this. God uses ordinary people to accomplish the extraordinary. God uses ordinary people. Now, unless you're here and you're not normal, I'm not going to determine that. One of the greatest things I do every day is I walk in the hospital and the thermometer looks at my forehead and says, normal. Yes, I'm normal today. It's a great feeling to know somebody tells you normal first thing in the morning. And every time I walk by, it says normal. That's good. Ordinary people. Listen, that's you and me. You don't have to have the college degrees. You don't have to have the scriptures memorized. You don't have to have all the stuff. You know why? Because the second one, when God calls, he gives strength and wisdom for the call. Joseph, marry her. Mary, you're going to have this baby. How is she going to figure this out? Mary's the only one who knew the truth of it. because it was her and her body. How is she going to explain it? How is she going to live among her people? How is she going to tell Joseph? Listen, if not for God, what would have happened? The first time Joseph chose from a love for Mary, he would have put her out privately. You see, God involved in it. When God calls, when God asks you to accomplish something, guess what? He's going to give you all the strength and wisdom to finish it out. And that's an amazing thing, because that means God wants to use us. What has God called you to accomplish? That's the final question. What has God asked you to accomplish? Where are you at with that? Because every one of us need to have a frontline ministry. Every one of us needs to have someone we're working with, someone we're trying to witness to. Listen, it is so freeing to just, God, send me where you got me to go. Set up the people. Put the divine people in front of me. God, where is it today? And it's an freeing, joyful, tiring, hard ministry that God has called every one of us to. And I wish it was going to get easier, but I don't believe it will. I think it's going to get harder. So why the nativity? Joseph was a very important part of that nativity, because it teaches us that ordinary people can be used to do extraordinary things when we obediently, faithfully follow God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are today. And Father, as we continue to understand this nativity scene and those involved in it, where we realize that, Father, how important it is that you are still calling. This just happened to be a very, very important event, but it was one of many. Joseph happened to be a very just, very important man, but he was one of many. And God, sometimes we take these truths of Scripture and we think, wow, we could never do that. I could never be that. But God, yes, we can, if we humble ourselves to you. And God, I pray as we study through these that we begin to soul search. We begin to first understand, am I obeying what the one who wrote them down? Am I obeying God? Am I obeying you? And Father, are we living a life that you could look upon and say, there is a just person. There's a just man, a just woman. And Father, from there, will we faithfully, obediently follow you no matter what? And Father, I pray that that is the heart of your children today. I pray we exemplify you. I pray we explain the best of our ability. And Father, I pray that we walk with you as close as we can every day. And God, we just lift it to you in your Son's name. Amen.